All right, so we're diving into some moon landing hoax theories, but we're not just going to rehash like the same old arguments about, missing shadows or flags waving in the wind or whatever, right? We're going deeper here. I want to figure out why this belief is still around, even though there's tons of evidence to prove it wrong. Like, think about this. Almost 5% of Americans actually believe the moon landing was faked. That's over 16 million people, which means, right here in Southeast Houston, chances are we probably have neighbors who think this way, which is kind of
Oh,
wild to
absolutely.
think about.
It's fascinating. You know, even in a community that's so connected to the space industry, you still find these theories kind of popping up. And for think and act locally, that's important. Understanding those perspectives, even if we disagree with them, it helps us have more productive conversations about things that matter to us.
For sure. Yeah. So let's rewind a bit, right? The seeds of doubt about the moon landing, they were planted pretty early on. Like, even back in 1971, just 2 years after Apollo 11, there's a joke in that James Bond movie, Diamonds Are Forever, that kind of hints at the moon landing being staged. It's almost like the idea was already kind of floating around,
It's like that saying, a lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is putting on its shoes. But things really blew up in the late 70s with that movie, Capricorn One, which is about a faked Mars landing, right? And then around the same time, you have Bill Kaysing's self-published pamphlet, We Never Went to the Moon. And that started to gain some traction too.
Oh, yeah. Talk about that lie traveling fast, right? And then, of course, there's that whole pop culture phenomenon with the X-Files in the 90s and 2000s, which brought in all kinds of conspiracy theories, including the moon landing hoax, right into the mainstream. Even the reboot, they revisited it.
They did.
And let's not forget those episodes of Futurama and even Friends that joked about it too. The idea really like seeped into our culture.
It did. That's the power of narrative at work. A good story, even if it's totally false, can really overshadow, hard facts, especially if it plays on existing feelings of distrust in authority or this de desire for like secret knowledge or something like that.
But surely not everyone just accepted this without like pushing back at all, right? I mean, there were documentaries, MythBusters episodes, all trying to debunk this hoax. There were even comedic takes on it, like that mockumentary, Dark Side of the Moon. So why didn't any of that stuff squash this theory completely?
Well, debunking by itself, it's rarely enough, You have to get into the psychology of why people believe these things. Take Stephen Curry, for example, right? Back in 2018, this NBA superstar, I mean, someone we consider to be intelligent, successful, he came out and publicly denied the moon landing. NASA even offered him a tour of their moon rock collection, and he still had doubts. It just shows how strong these narratives can be, even for people, we might not expect to believe them.
That's crazy. And imagine how it must feel to actually be one of the astronauts who walked on the moon, to have your biggest achievement basically dismissed as fake. I remember Buzz Aldrin, he actually punched a moon landing denier right in the face back in 2002.
Well, we certainly don't condone violence, of course, but that incident, it really shows the frustration that the people who were actually there feel, right? It also shows that these aren't just harmless theories. They have real emotional weight to them, and they can lead to real-world consequences.
For sure. So where do we go from here? How do we even talk about this without giving these theories more legitimacy? The bad astronomer, Phil Plait, he really grapples with that question, doesn't he?
He does. He argues that by constantly engaging with these theories, we're giving them a platform they don't deserve. But at the same time, he acknowledges that we need to address, beliefs that a lot of people hold, especially when they can have harmful consequences.
Right. And that's where the connection to critical thinking becomes really important. Plait makes those parallels to anti-vax and climate change denial. And it really shows how uncritical thinking can have these damaging effects on our lives and our communities.
Think about it this way. If we as residents of Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena want to make informed decisions about our community, everything from local elections to environmental issues, we need to be able to evaluate the information that's thrown at us every day. And that's what Think and Act Locally is all about.
Absolutely. So what is it about these beliefs that makes people cling to them, even when there's so much evidence proving them wrong?
Well, there's a few factors at play here. Like we were talking about earlier, a good story, it often beats out data, right? Conspiracy theories, they give people this feeling of control. Like they have this secret knowledge that other people don't. And they often tap into this this rebellious feeling against authority. It's like having a puzzle piece that nobody else has, even if it doesn't actually fit into the bigger picture, right?
Right, yeah, I get that. It's like a satisfying feeling maybe to...
Yeah, maybe. It's like, I know something you don't know.
Right.
Even if what you know is completely wrong.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's hard to let go of that once. You've sort of bought into it, it seems like.
It is, isn't it? It is. And you know those missing puzzle pieces, as you called them?
Yeah.
They can lead to a really distorted view of reality. And that's where the real danger is, right? These aren't just harmless theories like thought experiments or something. They can erode trust in institutions. They can hinder scientific and social progress. And in some cases, they can even inspire harmful actions.
Yeah, that's a scary thought. So how do we even begin to address this? Like, if someone's already convinced the moon landing was faked, throwing more facts at them probably isn't going to change their mind, right?
You're absolutely right. A head-on attack with facts, it's not always effective. We need to shift the focus from debunking specific claims to cultivating critical thinking skills more broadly. Like, imagine if instead of arguing about, you know, shadows and flags, we gave people the tools to evaluate information on their own. Wouldn't that be a more powerful and lasting approach?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's about empowering people to be more discerning about the information they take in. But how do we actually do that? Where do we even start?
Well, I think a good starting point is recognizing that we all have biases. It's just human nature. But by acknowledging those biases, we can start to question why we believe the things we believe. Ask yourself, what's the source of this information? Is it credible? Are there other perspectives that I need to consider?
So it's not just about passively accepting information. We need to be more active, more interrogative, I guess, in how we approach it. Like, become more like detectives, examining the evidence, considering different angles, and then reaching our own conclusions.
Exactly. And that's especially important in a community like ours. Decisions made at the local level, they directly impact our lives. You know, think about local elections, zoning proposals, school board decisions. These aren't just some abstract political issues. They shape our neighborhoods, our schools, our environment.
Yeah, that's true. Those decisions, they affect us directly, right here in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena. And that's why Think and Act Locally is so committed to providing reliable information and resources to help people make informed choices about their community.
Absolutely. Informed citizens, they're the foundation of a thriving community. They're more likely to vote, participate in civic discussions, hold their elected officials accountable. It's all about recognizing that we have a stake in the future of our community and that our actions, they can actually make a difference.
It's about that sense of agency, right? That belief that we can shape our own destiny. And critical thinking is a huge part of that.
Absolutely. But let's bring it back to the moon landing hoax for a second. How do you even approach a conversation with someone who genuinely believes it was faked? It can feel like you're walking on eggshells.
Yeah, it can be pretty intimidating, especially if you're passionate about science and space exploration. It's easy to get defensive or just, you know, dismiss them.
Right, and that's exactly what we need to avoid. Remember, their belief, it probably comes from a place of distrust or fear, not malice or anything like that. So instead of, you know, ridiculing them or arguing, try to understand where they're coming from. Why do they feel this way? What evidence are they looking at?
So active listening is key here. It's about building that bridge of understanding rather than just, you know, making the divide even bigger.
Exactly. Sometimes just listening can be more effective than launching into a lecture about scientific evidence. Let's be honest, just throwing facts at someone who's already dug in, it's probably not going to change their mind. It might even make them more resistant.
So what's the alternative then? Do we just ignore these beliefs and hope they go away?
Not necessarily, but instead of focusing on debunking, try to steer the conversation towards critical thinking itself. You could ask things like, how do you evaluate if information is reliable? Have you considered any other explanations? What would it take for you to change your mind?
It's about encouraging them to think critically about their own beliefs, not just trying to like force our beliefs onto them.
Right. And who knows, maybe by having that open and respectful dialogue, we can encourage them to be more critical of the information they're consuming, even if they don't change their mind about the moon landing right away.
That's a good point. This whole conversation has got me thinking, though. How do we know we're not falling for misinformation ourselves? I mean, with all the fake news and conspiracy theories out there, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and unsure what to believe.
It's a valid concern, and honestly, none of us are immune to being misled. But there are things we can do to lower that risk. It starts with being critical of your own sources. Where are you getting your information from? Is it a reputable news outlet? A peer-reviewed journal? a recognized expert? Or is it just, you know, some random blog post, a meme on social media, a YouTube video with no credentials?
Yeah, good point. It's a good reminder to be more careful about where we're getting our information. But with things like deepfakes and, you know, all this manipulated media out there, it can be hard to even know what's real anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. And that's where something called lateral reading comes in. It's a technique that professional fact checkers use. And it's surprisingly simple. Instead of just reading one article or watching one video, open up multiple tabs and research the source, the author, the claims being made. Look for confirmation from other credible sources. Do other experts agree? Is there consensus in the scientific community?
So it's like we have to be detectives gathering evidence from different places and then piecing together the truth ourselves.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to question your own assumptions. We all have biases, and sometimes those biases can make us blind to other viewpoints.
It's like that saying, it is the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it.
You got it. Being a critical thinker doesn't mean being cynical or distrusting everything you hear. It's about being discerning, thoughtful, and open-minded. It's about recognizing that there are many perspectives on any given issue, and that we can learn from each other even when we disagree.
And those are qualities we could all benefit from, whether we're talking about the moon landing or anything else, really.
You know, it's interesting how this one specific topic has led us to this bigger conversation about critical thinking and how important it is in our lives.
It's almost like the moon landing hoax itself is like a distraction from the real problem, you know?
Yeah.
The real problem being the erosion of trust, the spread of misinformation, and just the decline of critical thinking in our society.
Maybe, or maybe it's a wake-up call, reminding us to be vigilant, to question things, to think critically about the world. And that's a lesson that applies to every part of our lives, especially here in our own community.
Yeah, well said. So this has been a really fascinating deep dive. Any final thoughts for our listeners, especially those in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena?
I'd say, you know, take some time to think about your own information habits. How do you decide if a source is reliable? Are you actively looking for different points of view? And most importantly, are you engaging with your community in a way that promotes thoughtful conversations and positive change?
Those are some great questions to think about. And if you're looking for ways to get more involved in your community, Think and Act Locally is a great resource. We have information on local issues, upcoming events, and opportunities to volunteer. You can find all of that on our website, thinkandactlocally.com. You know, as we've been talking about this whole critical thinking thing, I've realized education is a big part of it.
Yeah, for sure. Education isn't just about, you know, memorizing facts and figures. It's about giving people the ability to think critically, analyze information, and then form their own conclusions. And that starts really early on.
Right, like even little kids, they can learn to question things and explore different viewpoints and not just accept things at face value. It's all about fostering that natural curiosity they have.
Exactly. Encouraging those critical thinking skills from when they're young is so important. And it's not just on schools and teachers. Parents and caregivers, they have a huge influence too.
So what can we do as parents to encourage that kind of thinking in our kids? Like, are there things we can do at home specifically?
Absolutely. Start by asking them those open-ended questions, the ones that make them think for themselves. Instead of just giving them the answer, guide them towards figuring it out on their own, through like their own reasoning and research. Encourage them to question things they see on TV or hear on the radio or read online.
So it's like teaching them to be little detectives, to not just take things at face value, but to really dig deeper. Look for evidence, consider different perspectives.
Exactly. And create that environment at home where it's safe to ask questions, to challenge assumptions, and to disagree, but respectfully. You know, model that critical thinking yourself. When your kids see you questioning things, evaluating sources, being open to different viewpoints, they're more likely to do the same.
That makes a lot of sense. It's about setting a good example and creating that culture of curiosity and open-mindedness. And I feel like that same principle applies to our community as a whole. If we want citizens to be more informed and engaged, we need to foster that same culture of critical thinking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Supporting our schools, encouraging open discussions, valuing different perspectives, it's all crucial for a strong community. Think about what kind of impact that could have right here in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena. Informed citizens make better decisions, whether it's at the ballot box, at community meetings, or even just in everyday conversations.
Yeah, it's about empowering ourselves and our neighbors to really take part in shaping our community and realizing that critical thinking isn't just some abstract thing. It's a skill that can actually improve our lives and make our community stronger.
Well said. And if you're listening to this deep dive, you're already taking steps to become a more informed and engaged citizen. So keep asking questions, keep challenging those assumptions, and keep seeking out those different points of view.
It's an ongoing process, isn't it? There's always more to learn, more to explore, more to question. And Think and Act Locally is here to help you along the way.
That's what's great about it. Critical thinking isn't about having all the answers. It's about being okay with not knowing everything, embracing that curiosity, and never stopping learning. And who knows, maybe by being more critical and thoughtful, we can start to bridge some of those gaps that seem so impossible to close.
It's a hopeful thought, for sure, that even with all the noise and misinformation out there, we can still find common ground through open dialogue and a shared commitment to thinking critically.
It's definitely a challenge worth working towards. And remember, even the small things can have a big impact. Start by having those conversations with your family, your friends, your neighbors. Get involved in your community support organizations like Think and Act Locally that are all about promoting informed civic engagement.
Because ultimately, it's about creating a better future for everyone. And that starts with thinking critically, acting locally, and working together.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep thinking, keep learning, and keep engaging with your community.
And if you like what we do here at Think and Act Locally, please consider supporting us. You can find a donation link in the show notes. We'll see you next time.